Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today on WRCA Radio, we're going to talk about all the great things going on in the Richland School District today. Marketing and Communications Director Kerry Stoltz is in our studio to join us on the birthday of the radio station.
Woo-hoo!
So you get the many have been behind that microphone, and you get the honor today.
I did see that it was the station's birthday, and then I was like, darn it, I didn't have time to grab a cake, but hopefully you guys get some treats today.
We don't need it, but thanks for the thought anyway. There's always been a long time partnership with the radio station and the school, going back to 1949, promoting the young people and academics and athletics and everything else.
Yeah, so. It's a great partnership. We're really, really appreciative of the help that you guys give us and the support that you give us and the coverage that you guys give us. We really couldn't ask for better. We get nice compliments about the radio station just about everywhere we go, from sports to this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's great. We saw you last night. You've been supporting.
Yeah, we've been all over the place. We've been everywhere, man. Volleyball conference champions. Yeah. How about that?
It was so exciting. It was a great game, great atmosphere. So proud of the girls. I think I saw that it was 2006 was the last time that they...
16,
was it?
I think, yeah.
I can't remember. But yeah, it's been a while. And those girls have worked so hard, especially that senior leadership team. So they really came through and had a great night. It was senior night, too. It was so really awesome to see all the girls celebrated and this, the students coming out to support them. And yeah, we've got a big one coming up on Thursday, so we'll want to have the students and the community and everybody come out again. It should be an awesome night for some great volleyball.
WIA tournament starts next week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they got a high seed, too. Those conference championships, sometimes, when you're in the midst of it, you don't really, think that much of them. But they shouldn't be overlooked because, they're tough to come
by. It's a tough conference, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we're, we're in there. We've got... volleyball is great. And then I heard from cross country this morning that they got second and third in conference for the boys and the girls. And it's just awesome to see, this Richland Center, this tiny school, just making a name for itself in the athletics department. Really awesome to celebrate these kids and the great work that they're doing and so much hard work that goes into it. I mean, in all sorts of facets, academics, athletics, activities, all that. Like, there's a lot of really hard work that goes in. And to see the kids kind of get some rewards from that is awesome. See these accolades come in for them is really cool.
Last night of the high school football season tonight, you couldn't ask for a better night weather-wise.
Really?
For this time of
Hopefully.
Year.
Okay. I think it's still probably going to be a little
cool. It's going to cool, but I've had a lot worse ninth week of the season games, I can tell you that. Bring the snow shovel out, So.
We're not that bad
no.
yet, but yes, probably want a hat, though, if you're going to come out to the football game. We'll see the guys out there. Pretty sure it's senior night, so we'll be celebrating the seniors. And then we have Gary Schwartz is going to give a little shout out to him as well. It is his 50th year supporting Richland Center football. So he was at the middle school previously, back when they were the Raiders, and had some pictures with him in blue, but now he's a Hornet, all in orange, celebrating his 50th year with the program. So it's really cool to see.
Outstanding. Yeah, he was a guest on our show earlier this season, so we look forward to seeing Gary honored in front of the crowd and the team tonight. That'll be great. Absolutely. We're into the musical seasons for area schools, and Richland Center, no exception.
No exception.
Putting on Grease this year.
We are, yeah. It should be really, really fun. The kids, we hear them practicing every once in a while, and some evenings they're trying to get as much practice in as they can. It'll be 8th, 9th, and 10th of November will be the shows. It'll be a great night. Tickets are going to be at the door, so people can pop in. I think it's 7 o'clock is curtain, so come at 6:15, 6:30. It's general admission, so they'll start selling tickets there. The kids are going to be here, I think, next week or 2 weeks from now.
A couple of shifts of them, since there are so many.
It is a really nice ensemble cast. So I know there's... There's some of the girls who are in volleyball who are also in the musical. So those girls have got some time commitments on their hands sure. A couple soccer players. So they've got conference coming up too. So Ms. Niemeyer is working real hard to get those practices in when she can and get the kids ready for the musical. But they're taking some pictures this weekend and it's coming along nicely. I've seen the sets kind of behind the scenes working away on those. The stage crew is doing a great job there. And it's really cool to see different departments and different kids come together to really put on this great show for the community. And we're really excited to see it. And we hope everyone will come out and support the kids.
Another thing, not just athletics, but this kind of thing. The kids are real ambassadors for the school, aren't they?
They are. And I mean, a smaller school like Richland Center, you really need your kids to do multiple things. And, you know, a lot of them really step up. They're in athletics and academics, and they play in the band. And, you know, they're doing all these amazing things. And we really want our kids to be involved in at least one thing. But it's amazing when we have kids who come in and really are just multifaceted and really, really good human beings who can, you know, manage their time wisely. That's a big skill that our kids are getting, you know, a skill that maybe you don't quite think of when you think of school, but it is really a skill for life and something that we're really excited to be teaching the kids and having them excel at. It's fantastic. And you see these schedules these kids keep. It's just amazing. But they're really committed to being involved in as much as they can and making the most of their high school days.
It's a life lesson in time management many times, you know, trying to keep everything where you're supposed to be next.
Right?
And things
exactly.
Like that. They do a great job. I know you're going to have some celebrations for Halloween coming up, aren't you?
We do. I mean, so the primary and intermediate school have kind of some fun days coming up with their PTO and PATT, putting on some stuff. I think it's pumpkin painting, if I'm not incorrect. And then I'm sure some maybe snacks will be there as well. So if you've got kids at either one of those schools, keep an eye out for the communications about that and what night it's going to be. I want to say it's Wednesday and Friday, but I don't remember which school's which. So yeah, some fun coming up there and get the costumes ready. So.
And school board appreciation, too, right?
Yep, that was recently. Last week. We had our school board meeting on Monday and got to give our board a little treat, little gift from us. And then school board also has their annual meeting coming up on Monday. So that was in the paper, kind of talking about that. That's at 6:30. So that happens once a year. And then normal scheduled meetings 2 Mondays out of the month. So school board is great. We can't ask for better people, man. They spend, you know, the public can see on Zoom or something like that, the hour and a half, 2 hours that they spend in public meeting, but there's committee meetings and side committees and conversations and meetings that happen. And man, those guys are really big shout out to our school board. They support us so well and are just such a big part of our district and our school and really have an eye for what's in the best interest of the district and our kids. Really just a heart for our kids. And you know, you can't say enough about adults in the community, leaders in the community, really having that heart for our students. We're really, really lucky to have them.
During this week, district students have been, they've been entertained. They hopefully have been educated. The Box Out Bullying campaign, and you were able to line up some guests that are going to be coming in here in just a little bit.
Yeah.
This is a cool program for the district.
It is a cool program. Lisa Goff, who's our school psychologist, has really been kind of the driving force behind it. We're in the second year of a 3-year commitment to the team. It's a crew out of New York who comes in and does presentations for the kids, primary, intermediate, and then the middle schoolers over at the high school, and really just talk to the kids in a fun, informative way, really help them understand kind of what bullying is, what it's not, how they can handle the situations, how they can address things. Really nice team, really, really good group of guys that are here to present. And yeah, we're really excited to have them. I think they do a great job and really help the kids in a fun way kind of learn what is, you know, a problem that needs to be addressed at districts all over the country, and do it in a way that the kids we're not just talking to them, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of fun, and they get a little more interaction. And I mean, they get to see a live theater troop too. So that's kind of a fun little add-on there too.
It is. And one note for parents too. I think they have a presentation coming up for parents.
They do. There are Zoom presentations coming up for parents. It's on our website. So there's a little section for box out bullying, and they've got their Zoom presentations coming up on the 21st and 23rd. So that's Monday and Wednesday. And they're interactive parent sessions. That was a big thing when Lisa was looking for a program to bring in. She wanted something that had components for students and parents and staff. And box out bullying really kind of brought all those things together to make a comprehensive program. So we're all telling our kids the same thing and all supporting them in a similar way, no matter what our role is in their life.
We're going to learn more about it coming up. Anything else you wanted to add today, Kara?
I don't think so. I'll let the guys take it away.
All right. Sounds good. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Phil.
You bet. And go Hornets.
Go Hornets.
Got some things. You're going to have to bundle up, too. I think you've got a soccer player, too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. That'll be Thursday.
You never know. This time of year. You've had some cold matches. I think Monday and Tuesday were kind of cold watching soccer, weren't they?
They were a little chilly. I lucked out on Monday. I got to go to volleyball instead. But
yes. Let's go indoors.
Right, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Kara.
Thanks, Phil.
Kara Stolz, Marketing and Communications Director for the Richland District. Coming up, Giovanni and David. We're going to learn about box out bullying. Box out bullying is the subject on this part of the morning show, and residents of the Richland School District are probably aware that they've been in the community this week and educating. In the studio with us today is Giovanni Felicia and David Troyer, joining us from Box Out Bullying. Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Doing
well. Pretty well.
Good to have you in here. So where do you hail from?
I come from Indiana, okay. Northeast corner.
Okay.
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, but I'm currently living in Maryland.
All right.
So I'm currently in the area now.
So you came back from New York to do this interview.
That's correct. That's right.
That's our home base.
How long have you been with Box Out Bullying, Giovanni?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, this is my first time, so I've been here since August, so just a couple of months now.
Yep.
Touring, like, across the country, so it's been fun.
All right.
Absolutely. Yep.
And what about you, David?
Same. I accepted this contract in late May, and then August was our rehearsal period, and then we've been touring since late August, and like Giovanni said, we've been from sea to shining sea.
Yes, you have. And here in the Midwest.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, you're going through a nice fall, so you're...
Absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful.
We've been able to see just fantastic views, like, all around, like, just driving, and it's been fun. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
So tell us a little bit about what you do, Giovanni.
So what I do, oh my gosh, I'm an actor, so I'm pretty happy to say that. And now currently working with Box Out Bullying. So basically we just go to schools. We give kids and a lot of children just the meaning of what, you know, the importance it is about, you know, trying to fight bullying. I know this is a problem, you know, in schools all across the country. So it's a great way to teach these kids how to, you know, stand up for their friends, you know, for themselves, you know, to stop bullying in schools. And I think the best way to do it is just do theater.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
For performance.
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to make sure that the definition of bullying and the things that they can do to help themselves and their school community are accessible and put in a way that not only they understand, but they can engage with. So we add magic tricks to our show. We make sure it's as funny as we can be. Yeah. Plenty of
see the characters
things.
As well. You know, we introduce several characters into the show as well, just to make it a little bit more interactive. Because I know that a lot of kids, you know, they learn differently, and we try to make it, you know, as interactive, as fun as we can, so that they can, you know, have these lessons and hopefully, you know, they will remember it forever. Putting into practice, you know, for the rest of their school year.
Absolutely.
And you have different levels, so do you have different presentations for each level then?
Yeah, that
is correct. So we have, it's essentially the same show for each age group, but we try to change the material to what makes most sense to those age groups. So for like kindergartners or first graders, we talk about the differences between tattling and telling, and there's also a lot of call and response learning in that one. Yeah. But for the ones at the intermediate level, so third through fifth grade, we try to make sure that we give them facts. Things that kind of put things into perspective, with a lot, still that engagement, but also talking about the differences between bullying and conflict. So they don't misunderstand what instances of bullying is, and instances of conflict as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also perform for middle schoolers as well, very similar to the upper elementary, but we also like to talk about cyberbullying because at that age there's phones in pockets, and we need to make sure that they're aware of the dangers of the internet, but also what they can do to help protect themselves online as well.
What's the difference between being a tattletale and telling when you should?
Great question. So tattling is essentially when you just want to get someone in trouble. You're not really, there's no other purpose outside of you want to hurt someone or you want to upset someone's feelings. Telling, on the other hand, is when you go to someone to help someone else out of trouble. Letting a teacher or a principal or a school counselor know that something is happening that shouldn't be happening. Yeah. So it's the difference of intention there.
Yeah.
Another question I would have is when you go to a larger city, a larger school, is bullying similar to what we would see here in a rural area, Giovanni?
So I don't think so. I think it's very different. It varies a lot. I know that in some areas we go, you know, across, it changes a little bit. You know, for example, the New Jersey area from the New York area is a little bit different. But I think, you know, it's such a, you know, bullying, you see bullying everywhere. I mean, this is not just one thing of one, you know, one area particularly, because you will see bullying even in things that you will not think that is a bad thing, but, it is a bad thing. So, I think, you know, it's differently, but they all understand the whole main idea of what it is and what's not good and what is good. So, yeah, but I think you know, I don't know what you think, David, but I think it's...
I would agree. There's different flavors of it, for sure. I would say that...
Kids are different, of course, you know, as well. You know, if you look at the difference between the Midwestern kids from the city, you know, in the city, they're a little bit more, you know, they're more louder, they're more... but they, I mean, kids these days, they know everything now, you know?
Yeah, right, right. And one thing you touched on, David, was the fact about cyberbullying. I mean, kids in the big cities and kids in the rural areas, everybody has a phone, right?
Exactly, that's very true. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty true. Yeah.
And in that regard, yes, cyberbullying, like I said, different flavors, but it always kind of boils down to the same thing. Yeah. Someone trying to put someone down through a digital medium, be it social media, video games, whatever they can find online. The internet is so vast nowadays, for sure. Yeah. But I would kind of agree with Giovanni that in a rural area, it's going to be... The instances of bullying are going to be slightly different, but the effect on the other students is going to be the same. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to make sure kids know, that no matter what form it takes, that it's still affecting other people and that there's ways that they can help prevent it.
Yeah.
One thing you impress on them, I'm sure, Giovanni, is the fact that once you put something out there on the internet, it's out there.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's out there for everyone to see. And then even if you, like how we say in the show, even if we take something down, we're not totally 100% sure that it's completely deleted. You know, we don't know that because somebody just easily could have taken a screenshot or something like that. So it's a very dangerous thing, you know. So we always have to, like we teach the kids, it's important to think before we click. You know, it's important to think before we post that, you know, that comment or that post or any you know, naughty thing that, you know, is going to make somebody else feel bad. You know, it's important to think before we do that because, you know, that's going to, I don't know, come back at you at some point. You know, it always happens. So we try to emphasize that in our show. For these kids to, you know, to understand, and they get it. They get it. At the end of the day, they get it, and they enjoy it so much. And it's fun to see as well. We have come. The show has returned to schools that, you know, we've been over already on past years, and it's so nice to see a lot of these kids that have already seen them. For example, they were in second grade and now they're in third grade or in fifth grade, and they're like, oh, this backs up bullying again. These guys are so nice. These are cool, whatever. And they remember, you know, the show, and they enjoy the show so much and how they interact with us, because we call students up and we, you know, we play the little, you know, games so that they can remember, you know, what we've been doing throughout the show. And it's just so nice to see them so enthusiastic, you know, and wanting to do it. And it's super fun. It's super fun.
That's great, and that they remember you. You do a little slightly different show every time, then, I presume.
Yeah.
We try to keep it about the same, but I would say with different seasons, different actors take on the characters.
So this is our season,
right? So
this is our season.
It's the same joke, but we might deliver something a little bit different, or we might, you know, change the energy of a certain line here or there. But even so, they still enjoy it, still are.
It's fun.
Yeah. The spectacle of this show is still something that they get behind, for sure.
Is it just the two of you then that puts on the act?
That's correct. Yep. Okay. We are a two-man team.
So who is the bully? Who's the being bullied? Or does it vary? Or what goes on here?
A little bit of both. both. Yeah, I think we both have instances of being bullied and bullying. And I think it's kind of poetic as to real life, because those who have bullied those who do bully often have been picked on or bullied themselves. So it's something that kind of gets passed on and carried. And that's also what happens in our show.
In our show happens the same thing. We start seeing Tom, which is the character that David is playing. At the beginning, he is, you know, he's acting really impulsive. He's really easily upset, not able to understand anybody's feelings. So he is currently acting like someone who is bullying. And I'm trying to teach him that he is acting that way. Mm-hmm. And then we, at some point, he remembers, we flash back into, because we play cousins in the show. And then he flashbacks into a memory that we have back in the day that I bullied him at some point. So it's kind of, you know, we teach kids, like, you know, I've been teaching you what it is to be bullied, but I've bullied you before at some point. So it's pretty nice to point that out. And the kids point that out as well. They have screamed, like, how many times they called me bully, how many times they called this guy bully. It's like, what? No, don't do that.
I'm like, pretty strong senses of right and wrong in some audiences, for sure.
So it's good. It's good because they get it. They get it. You know, they're paying attention, and you know, it's good for them to point out what the, you know, the right things are and what the, you know, the wrong things are. So it's cool. It's cool.
It's the same show. Do you improvise once in a while, or something changes?
Oh, absolutely.
All the time.
Oh, yeah? Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes, let's see, what's the most recent example? Sometimes, like, things will happen, like, for some reason, tech might fail us, and we have to kind of play it off or something. Sometimes very catastrophic things in the show happen, and we have to keep going on. Right.
It's fun. It's open to that. You know, if something happens, you know, we're able to, like, you know, maneuver it and fix it if possible, you know. At least, you know, we're both trained actors, so it comes very easy. And we trust each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know if I mess something up, he'll be able to, you know, play it off. And if something goes wrong on his end, then when the show is over,
I'll be like, you're doing that, right?
After the show's over, we'll look at each other like, did that actually happen? How did this occur? But
yeah,
it always ends on the right foot, for sure.
It's inevitable. It's kind of like radio. It's how well you do covering it up, you know, make people realize that, you know, he meant to do that, right?
Of course.
Box Out Bullying is the title. You know, there's a reference to basketball there. Is that by accident, or is...
You know, not...
We've had several people coming to us with different ideas of what box out bullying is. One person came to us, oh, so you box bullies, huh? And we're like, boxing anybody.
No. I would say that the basketball reference is probably the best way.
Yeah.
The way that it's structured, it's kind of like a vaudeville trunk show. Yeah. So there's an actual physical box that's like the centerpiece of our set.
Oh.
So that's kind of what it refers to. But the way that people are able to interpret it into various athletic events kind of works.
Bullies, and I'm like,
no, we don't. No, nothing like that.
That'd be counterproductive to what you're trying to teach here, right?
The most counterproductive thing we possibly could do.
So you're in the Richland District this week. In fact, Giovanni, you've got orange colors on, like the Richland Center colors.
Right, yeah.
I know. I'm blending in very well. And the school that we're going, they all of their whole theme is orange. So I feel like home.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is this a year-long gig for you guys? How long are you on the road with this?
We stick around for this for the entire school year. So we will be doing this at least until May of 2025, possibly a little bit longer, depending on if other schools still want us around. It all depends on various school schedules. Yeah. No one school calendar is the same. So, it kind of depends on where in the world we're needed.
So you guys are actors. You're looking for other gigs and things down the road. Have you got a background?
If that was a possibility, we would have done that. But since we have such an extended calendar, we have schools like booked throughout. You know, what is left of this year. So this is mainly like our current job right now until we're done.
Yep, we are. Focused on this gig. Once we get towards the end of the school year, who's to say? Potentially we'll be back for this, but it all depends.
So there are other people traveling right now in other parts of the country as Box Out Bullying?
No.
Or it's just you guys?
I mean, more or less. So Box Out Bullying is not solely the show that me and Giovanni do. We have other events where... We have parent conferences for schools outside of things. We have teacher conferences as well. Mm-hmm. So the messages that we put in the show, we build it for the kids. Yeah. But parents and teachers, if they want to have like a deeper understanding of the lessons as well outside of what we present in the schools, they also have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there's other people around within the company, yeah, definitely having those workshops. There's another event that what's his name?
Our friend, yeah. I always forget his name.
There's another touring show that's, yeah, not necessarily like ours. Well, hold on, we're going to pull it up real quick.
They're of course not as good as you guys. But
I won't speak to their because we're all in the same boat here.
I always try to, you know, we're out there. We're kind of like good at what we do, and we're just appreciative that we're able to, like, you know, impact in a sort of way, you know, these kids. And
absolutely,
you know, just give them good lessons, because, you know, it's so important to spread out so many positive things out there. And you know, it's a good way that we're doing it in a fun and in a very enjoyable way for them. And then we enjoy ourselves as well. You know, we love it.
It's interesting that the parents can see the presentation, too, because sometimes, yeah, you know, bullying is kind of a learned thing. It's kind of, yeah, cyclical, right? So it's probably important, right, to show the parents, too, right?
Yep.
One of the big rules, we present four rules against bullying in the show. And the biggest one, or one of the big ones that we like to cover, is telling an adult at school and an adult at home. So if the adult at home isn't ready to listen to the kids, it's that much more difficult for the kid to, you know, get the help that they need. So yes, absolutely. We want to make sure that the parents understand the rules that we're presenting, the things that they can do, because no one should feel like this is something that just needs to happen and nothing can happen. It's very preventable. Mm-hmm. So we are very happy that we are able to give this message to the adults as well.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is a serious question. Were either of you bullied when you were in school?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have a lot, you know, for simple things as my hair, my style, my physicality of being skinny or whatever. I've been called Shaggy. I've been called Harry Potter because I wear glasses. For the longest of years, I've been bullied, you know, you see it now, and now that you're, you know, all grown up, you're like, oh my gosh. And I mean, I went through all that stuff, but there were difficult times, you know, because you don't want to feel in an environment that you're not, you know, you don't feel safe, or you don't feel that, you know, and there were times, you know, that points in my life that I didn't want to go to school because I knew that, you know, I was going to get picked on. But yeah, you know, that's why it's so important for teachers and parents to be involved in the students and their kids' lives. It's so important to do that. Because, you know, school is a place that should be an enjoyable place, should be fun, and it also should be safe. You know, you don't want to be in an environment that you don't feel safe. But yeah, it was crazy days back in the day. It was. I don't know if you had the exact same experience or...
I would say that if I was bullied, it was one of those things that it happened kind of subliminally, you know. We present... There's two types of bullying that we talk about. There's direct bullying, which is like the classic pushing, shoving, physical altercations. But there's also indirect bullying, which is a lot more subtle, a lot more sneaky. It's rolling eyes, ignoring someone whenever they're talking, excluding people from the group. I'm sure some of that happened, and I was just blissfully unaware, just kind of like, la, 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 here we go, going through my day.
But, which you were better off.
I mean, I would say so. I, you know, thinking back, you look back and you're like, well, maybe that was, maybe that wasn't. But regardless, I get to teach kids now so that they can know for sure in this time when they're young, when it's happening, so they don't have to look back and be like, was that something that happened to me? You know? So that's my two cents on that.
Yeah.
High school kids take this in pretty well, do they?
I would say yes. I think definitely they do.
We try to go to a different approach with them, you know, because, you know, for the little ones, you know, there's more there's more, you know, the way that we interact with them is a little bit more playful. Mm-hmm. But when we go to the high schoolers, you know, they're grown kids now.
They're adults.
We try, you know, we don't baby them. We try to, you know, go straight to the point. You know, we're very serious in the things that we explain and we say. And the way that they interact, of course, is also very well. We have a very good response from them as well.
Absolutely.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Box Out Bullying, our subject on the morning show. We'll return with more right after these words on WRCO.
Deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swift for power mop. Swift for power mop.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Can the Packers make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Sunny for today, a few clouds and a high of 81, 52 with some clouds possible again tonight, and a high of 73 Tuesday before it cools off to a high of 56 Wednesday. Right now it is 40 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Republican Vice Presidential nominee Senator J.D. Vance spoke at a rally at Stein's Aircraft Services at the Waukesha County Airport. Vance spoke on the border and the economy, saying Democratic nominee Vice President Kamala Harris's policies have cost Wisconsin residents thousands of dollars. The visit marked Vance's fifth stop in Wisconsin, following his most recent visit to DePere at the end of August. Voters being asked to amend the Wisconsin Constitution. Currently, the Wisconsin Constitution reads that every U.S. citizen age 18 or older can vote if voters approve the ballot referendum. The every would be changed to only. While some non-citizens have been allowed to vote in local elections in other states, no Wisconsin municipalities currently allow that. Republican State Senator Julian Bradley says there have been states and municipalities, including Maryland, Washington, D.C., and California and others who have taken the word every to be not exclusionary of any non-citizens, which is allowing non-citizens to vote in state and local elections. Bradley calls the referendum a no-brainer, but Deborah Cronmiller with the League of Women Voters argues this should be a local decision. The Republican-authored ballot measure passed two prior sessions of the Wisconsin legislature, where Republicans control both the Senate and Assembly. A Western Wisconsin police officer is accused of reenacting the murder of George Floyd in a Minnesota classroom. Prescott police officer Steve Williams was placed on administrative leave following allegations of his actions at a suburban St. Paul high school earlier this month. Williams was serving as a substitute teacher at Woodbury High School when he put a student on the ground in front of the class to reenact Floyd's murder. School district administrators learned of the incident through students' shared video and audio recordings, according to a letter shared with Minnesota Public Radio. The letter did not name Williams, but the city of Prescott released a statement last Wednesday identifying him and announcing he was placed on leave. A warning from the Better Business Bureau about phony debt collectors. Spokesperson Lisa Schiller says people are getting calls to pay for debts they've already paid off from agencies they've never heard of. Ask for their name, company, street address, and telephone number. Do not provide any bank account, credit card, or other personally identifiable information over the phone. Schiller says a legitimate agency will provide you with a listing of what debts you owe and who you owe them to in writing by mail. If they won't, contact the Better Business Bureau or your local consumer protection agency. The second annual Richland Center Pumpkin Fest will take place Wednesday through Sunday. Many activities are planned for the event. Suzanne Anderson is the creator and organizer of Pumpkin Fest.
A lot of exciting things happening this year. We worked with the city and got the street closed. Central Avenue is going to be closed on Saturday. So we're going to have a lot of events there. We're going to have face painting. We're going to also have a pumpkin petal pull sponsored by Mick Cosgrove and his organization. We are having a pie eating contest sponsored by the Lions. And there's also going to be a craft show at the Eagle School this year. A lot of neat events coming, a lot bigger this year than last year. Come on down on that Saturday. Friday night, we have a costume contest at 7 p.m. at the courthouse. Also, the winners of all the pumpkins will be known by then, and so we will give away little prizes to any of the winners.
Children in the area were given the opportunity to create this year's theme for Pumpkin Fest, and the chosen theme is Out of This World.
We threw this out to kindergartners through fifth grade in all the public schools in the Richland Center area, and we got quite a few awesome responses, and we chose the theme as Pumpkins in a Galaxy Far, Far Away by Austin Ewing, and he is a fifth grader at the intermediate school, and we are so happy that he has been very involved. He was involved last year as far as doing a pumpkin, and he just is excited about this, and we are so excited to honor him and honor his theme, because I can see the possibilities of so many awesome alien pumpkins and all kinds of neat things that hopefully will come of this, and I just think it's really great that Austin has given us this idea.
The second annual Richland Center Pumpkin Fest will kick off Wednesday, when entries will be accepted on the courthouse lawn from 3:30 until 7. Pumpkins will be on display through Sunday, with many fun events happening throughout the weekend. You can find more information at rcchamber.org/pumpkinfest and also on the Richland Center Pumpkin Fest Facebook page. The Riverdale One Act, When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors, advanced from the District 10 Festival held at the Reedsburg Pack on Saturday. The cast and crew performed admirably for a house of parents, grandparents, and high school actors and directors from Reedsburg and Barneveld. Members of the cast and crew include Abe Schneider, Adrian Rush, Alex Schneider, Archer Imhoff, Ben Bremer, Braylee Bedward, Delaney Imhoff, Ezra Noble, Hayden Wolfe, Cadence McGraw, Mavana Zarbach, along with Nora Wolf, Sienna Deglow, Vivian Benedict, Brandon Meese, Destiny Bonds, and Electra Justum. The group will perform next in competition at Wanakee High School on Saturday, November 9th, at a yet-to-be-determined playtime. The play is directed by Catherine Benedict and Chris Simonson. And three-term Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwok, will face Democrat Julia Henley of Blue River in the newly drawn Assembly District 41 that includes Richland Center, Reedsburg, and the Wisconsin Dells area. On today's morning show, we will feature comments from both candidates. The morning show airs between 9 and 10 on WRCO FM 100.9, WRCO.com, and on the Civic Media app.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started, to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
A high today of 81 degrees, sunshine at times, continued much warmer than normal, and we head toward that low 80s today, 52 tonight, low 70s tomorrow with a few sprinkles possible, and for Wednesday, noticeably cooler, a high of 56, 63 Thursday, and 55 for a high coming up this Friday. Yesterday's high was 81. One other note, there's a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Breezy winds and drought conditions could spread a large or uncontrolled fire very rapidly. So take that into account today. Right now in Richland Center, it is 40 degrees.
Chances are you're not hearing this ad while topping 100 in your Aston Martin or taking a spin around town in your Rolls Royce. But if you are, then Donald Trump's tax plan is for you. Just ask him.
You're rich as hell. Are we going to give you a tax cut?
But if you're hearing this on your way to work or school pickup, if you're heading to the grocery store or wondering how long you can stretch that tank of gas, then your plan is Kamala Harris's plan. She'll make the wealthy and big corporations pay their fair share so she can give the middle class a tax cut, as well as $25,000 for first-time homebuyers, $6,000 for first-time parents, and a $50,000 tax deduction for starting a new business. Because that guy in the Cybertruck that just zoomed by doesn't need another break. But Kamala Harris knows you sure could use one.
Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at the upcoming high school football playoffs and details on a Packer win yesterday on a last field goal.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. JV football today. Richland Center travels to Broadhead, and it will be New Glarus playing at River Valley. Over the weekend, the WIAA officially announced the brackets for the upcoming football playoffs, which begin on Friday night. The Ithaca Bulldogs are a third seed, and they will be hosting number 6 Randolph coming up this weekend. Also, number 5 Hillsborough will be at Cambria-Friesland. Waseca Steuben at Cochrane Fountain City to open the football playoffs, and Iowa Grant at Bangor. In Division 6, Cuba City will be hosting Mineral Point, and Westby will be at Lancaster among the games. And in Division 5, Prairie du Chien will host Southwestern East Dubuque, and Richland Center, a seventh seed, will play at number 2 Darlington on Friday night at 7. In Division 4, Wisconsin Dells is at Lodi, and Platteville travels to West Salem. New Packers kicker Brandon McManus booted a 45-yard field goal as time ran out in Sunday's 24-22 win over Houston. Green Bay's fourth straight victory included 7 lead changes. 3 turnovers left the Packers behind 19-14 at the half, but the defense stiffened after that. And also linebacker Eric Wilson had 2 of Green Bay's 4 sacks, and Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud passed for just 82 yards. Daniel Whelan, the Packer punter, was certainly a superstar. He could be the best in the league.
Not only is he an outstanding punter, but he's a hell of a holder as well. And I can't say enough great things about him. He definitely had a huge impact in the game today. I mean, when you average, 56.8 yards a punt, that's pretty damn good. So do not want to have to use him that much. I tell him every week, I said, I hope we only use you as a holder, but today we needed him, and he certainly came through in a big way.
And as a holder, he was a star yesterday as the snap on that winning field goal was low, and he was able to get it placed in time for the McManus kick. So the Packers get the win. Elsewhere yesterday, Jacksonville over New England, 32-16. Buffalo, 34. Tennessee, 10. Cincinnati, 21. Cleveland, 14. Detroit edged Minnesota on a late field goal, 31-29. Indianapolis, 16. Miami, 10. Philadelphia, 28-3 over the Giants. Seattle, 34. Atlanta, 14. The Rams, 20. Las Vegas, 15. Washington, 40. Carolina, 7. Also last night, Patrick Mahomes overcame two interceptions to deliver a few big plays with his feet, and the Chiefs remain the league's only undefeated team after beating the 49ers 28-18 in a Super Bowl rematch. Russell Wilson threw for two touchdowns and ran for another score in his Pittsburgh debut to lead the Steelers to a 37-15 win over Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. The 35-year-old Wilson, who spent the first 6 weeks watching from the sideline while recovering from a calf injury, completed 16 of 29 passes for 264 yards as Pittsburgh won its second straight. Rodgers threw for 276 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions. Devontae Adams has three receptions for 30 yards in his Jets debut. The New York Liberty finally have a WNBA championship after beating the Minnesota Lynx 67-62 in overtime of a decisive Game 5 on Sunday night. Tommy Erdman and Will Smith homered to send Shohei Ohtani into the World Series for the first time, and the Dodgers eliminated New York Mets with a 10-5 victory in Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. The Wisconsin women's hockey team came roaring back to win 4-3 Saturday at Minnesota, completing a weekend sweep. Ohio State scored a goal in the first 21 seconds, then added the winner early in the third period Saturday at the Kohl Center. Quinn Finley gave his team a chance with 11:43 remaining, but Wisconsin fell short 2-1 to Ohio State over the weekend in college hockey. And that is an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee. Box Out Bullying, our subject on the morning show from WRCO, Giovanni Felice and David Troyer. I think I got that right, didn't I, Giovanni?
Yeah, I mean, it's French.
Close. And I've been to France, so I should be better than I am, but that's the way it goes. So Box Out Bullying, it's a fascinating thing, you know, and I'm thinking it has to be rewarding work. Is that the case, Giovanni?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we enjoy a lot when we're done with the show is the kids. They stay, you know, once they're, you know, walking back to their classrooms, you're saying hi, bye to us. They remember our names because we introduce ourselves, you know, as our real names, you know, when we're done, and they're always calling us by our names and asking questions. How do you open the box? How is this? Oh, you had a great show. That was amazing. We've had hugs at the end of the show as well. It's pretty, I think that's, you know, that's the reward for us every time we finish the show. At least for me. That's what
I
enjoy.
No, I completely agree. No, they just enjoy it so much, and they laugh so hard and so uncontrollably during the show. And so once it's all done, they're all beaming at us. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah, to the point of hugs. Yes, sometimes we get absolutely just swamped by all and these little kids.
In some schools, the principals or the teachers or people from the staff, they will hold them for just a couple of seconds, and they will ask them questions like, "Okay, what did you learn today?" Mm-hmm. And you know, hearing them repeating, you know, everything that they saw, fabulous. Just, so if every school does that, perfect.
No pressure if you're hearing this other school.
Do you provide follow-up? If a student, you know, it kind of clicks with them or a light bulb goes on, do you offer them some places that they can go and they can turn and things to do?
We definitely, we're always open to talk to the students after the show by all means. In terms of follow-up, we always want to make sure that we provide worksheet materials. So there's printed stuff that we give out to teachers that they can pass out to students. So the lessons that we teach are year-round, for sure. There's also the workshops that we mentioned for teachers and parents as a follow-up, for sure. In terms of students, we want to make sure that they know that they can talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. So far, I don't think any of us have... And no student has come to us to be like, "Hey, something's happened." Yeah. But we want to make sure that they feel like there are plenty of options and plenty of ways that they can talk to someone.
As part of the lesson, you know, you can go to any trusted adult at school, also at home. So that's the most important, you know, we're not there, but there are people around them that they can go, you know, if they ever had any sort of like issue and stuff. So
absolutely,
it's one of the most important lessons that we give out.
Mm-hmm. We've had lots of serious situations in our country, you know, where there's a attack on a school or whatever. Yeah. And a lot of times it'll come back to, oh, you know, this person was bullying, was bullied, I should say. This is something hopefully can nip it in the bud, you know, in some ways. Mm-hmm. Maybe try to curb it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, in any case, you know, like we're trying to, like we say, you know, this is so important for parents and teachers to be so involved in the kid's life, you know, because, you know, it affects them. You know, there are some things that, you know, not everybody, gives them, you know, how they're feeling, you know, not everybody talks. It's so difficult for somebody to talk, you know, sometimes, you know, they keep a lot of those things to yourself. And we also teach that also in the presentation, you know, it's not good to keep all of those things to yourself, because if you do, it'll get worse and worse, because, you know, you're keeping all those bad things in there. So it's always very important to just talk, you know, and it's so beautiful to talk to people, to open up to somebody who they trust, you know, the most, like a teacher, school counselor, principal, your parents. And I think we will be able to ease so much of this pain that has been going on, you know, and it's just terrible. It's terrible to, you know, to read those news every single, you know, it shouldn't happen, you know, that's the thing, you know, it shouldn't happen. And it can't be avoided. It's so easily, you know, it's so easy to avoid that so much, but, you know, it starts with each and every one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, sometimes a lot of these issues just boil down to simple empathy, just understanding how the people around you are feeling. We may not always show it or say how we feel, but even if we just know that something's maybe not okay with someone that we're close with, just bridging that gap, being able to say, hey, are you doing okay? Hey, is there something I can do? Can I get you something? I feel like that makes the world of difference in just anyone's life, especially at a young age, or even at an adult age, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Empathy is just such a miraculous thing, and we try to teach that to them as best we can, and we hope and pray that they take that with them, so they are a little bit more empathetic, so that the change, like Giovanni said, it always starts with them.
Yeah.
They're more prevalent with boys or girls, or is it about the same?
In terms of that statistic, we don't know. We do know that statistically, one out of three kids in elementary school get bullied at least once a week. By the time kids reach 10th grade, that number jumps up to 4 out of 5 of them. Wow. There's a study from the National Center of Educational Statistics that we reference a lot that says that every school year there's tens of millions of kids in American schools that are bullied. Unfortunately, most of them keep it to themselves. In terms of which demographic is more bullied, we don't know that off the top of our heads, but the numbers are too large even without knowing those specifics for us to sit by idly.
Yeah.
It's probably always happened. You know, back in my day, they probably just said, toughen up. You know, and those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. You know, and it's, you know, generational thing. You know, the world is changing, you know, things are so different now. Kids have so much information in their hands now very easily. So, and I think, you know, it's important. If we have the equipment, if we have the tools to work around this, let's use it, you know, and it's simple. As David said, you know, we're going back to the same thing, you know, have empathy, you know, reach out. It's always so important to do that, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to change as a society as well, you know.
Well, thanks, guys, for what you do. It's
absolutely
been a pleasure having you in the studio here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good luck. And, you know, even if you make a difference in one student's life at every district,
that's enough. I know. Exactly. You know, and that will pass on. You know, if that student does the difference, then another student will do the difference. So, you know.
Yeah. Then it's
planting that seed.
A domino effect a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good deal. Well, safe travels to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being in the Richland District this week. Giovanni Felicier and David Troyer on The Morning Show. They're Box Out Bullying. Jeremy Rubenstein is here, director of the Box Out Bowling. We just heard from Giovanni and from David. Jeremy, you got to be proud of these guys. They're doing a great job for you out here in the Midwest.
Hey, that's great to hear. Yeah, no, they are fantastic. And one of the things we really love to do is bring presenters that are talented, because it's not just the message, it's the way the message is presented. So it's very important that we bring out people that the audience can relate to, as well as help to convey this important message.
Tell me about Box Out Bullying. How long has it been in existence?
Wow, great question. So Box Out Bullying has been in existence since October of 2008. And at that time, you know, I think this was an issue that everybody has a story with. Either they've witnessed it, experienced it themselves. But, you know, this is something that, as a topic, was really a whisper at the time. And I must say, since then, it's become a roar to the point where parents, faculty, staff, students are now in the legislature for the states are now all on board to make sure that we help students become more empowered on what to do if they see somebody in need, making sure that schools have the tools that they need to help to be more fun, joyful, and safe. So it started out. So my background is in education, and I just didn't like back in, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, I didn't like what I was seeing in the classroom with my students. To mind you, the school district I taught at was very different than the Richland School District, where there wasn't at the time an emphasis on teaching the whole child, not like over at Richland School District. So I didn't like, you know, the fact, yeah, we were teaching reading, arithmetic, and all the good stuff, but we weren't teaching at the time social and emotional learning. So my background is in education, also in theater and performance and journalism. So people came to me and said, is there something that you can do? And I said, yes. So we've started, almost 20 years now doing our presentation and our programming to schools across the country.
That's very interesting. You talk about, and I talked about this with the guys, if you make the difference in one student's life at each district you go to, I mean, that kind of starts a good domino effect in some ways, hopefully, right?
Oh, yeah, you know it. And now, I guess one of our keys to success, too, is we want to focus on the students, but also on the entire school community, especially with the parents, too, because children are going to mimic those that they love. So it's super important that with our organization, we provide services for all stakeholders in a child's education, for parents, for students, parents, caregivers, students, as well as faculty and staff.
As a teacher, as you mentioned in the classroom, you probably felt like your hands were tied a little bit at that time, didn't you?
Oh, sure. I mean, mind you, at that time, there wasn't that much of an emphasis on this. It was more just, you know, this is just a part of growing up. And, you know, boys will be boys. And even to see the evolution of, you know, how this has changed since 2008 as well. So, you know, that's why I lasted as long as I needed to last at that school and then decided to move and take my education and my background into more of a national spotlight. Now, you know, since then, I've had the honor to present at the White House. I've done workshops nationally and internationally, speaking to parents and caregivers, as well as bringing our Box Out Bullying Assembly presentation all across the country.
We had a chance to talk to Giovanni and David, and just two excellent individuals. How does that process work? You know, they have to be good actors, but they also have to be pretty good people, too, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. So in terms of making sure that we bring on presenters that are able to create empathy on stage, also making sure that they're able to convey these kinds of messages off stage too, especially with kids, you have to be genuine 100%. So it's very important that, I mean, in terms of the people that we bring on, you know, it's not just do what I say, not what I do. But no, they are great individuals. So, yeah, we have to have presenters that are able to you know, work through conflicts that are able to kind of convey this on and off stage. So, yeah, no, absolutely. We need to make sure that we're able to kind of, you know, Mr. Rogers has always been a inspiration for me, you know, to make sure that we are able to kind of practice what we preach on and off stage for everybody with our organization.
I ask the guys this too, but do you see a difference in teens, like say in New York City and as opposed to the Midwest, or is everybody facing kind of the same challenges?
That's a great, I would love to hear what they would say on this, because, you know, they are fairly, you know, this is their first season working with us. So every year, a lot of our clients love what we do. So they are always like, hey, so, you know, what else do you have for us? So one of our keys to success is making sure that we always, you know, recast the presentation season after season so that each actor has their own kind of spice to the character. But, you know, I'll tell you that whether it we are in Richland Center, Wisconsin, or, you know, Queens, New York, or Los Angeles, California, anywhere in between, the issues and concerns facing students are the same.